Welcome to the Riot Podcast, where we have practical discussions on how to share your faith, see the news from God's eyes, and answer some of faith's hardest questions.
Thank you for listening to Riot Podcast. I'm your host, Pete Robertson, joined by Bob Schoeneman.
Hey, Pete, how are you today?
What's up, brother? Doing well. And also Barry Rice.
Hey, everybody. So thankful that you're here, and we're getting close to Christmas.
Yes, we are, man. It's only, what, like 2 weeks away, and then we're Christmas is upon us. Where did this year go?
I know.
I mean, it's like faster than we can possibly imagine. It's like the older I get, the faster things go, right? Is that how it is?
Yeah, but 2 weeks, it's December 17th, right?
So how long is it?
We're like 8 days away, Pete.
No, okay, 8 days away. We're not even 2 weeks away.
All I need is
away.
5 days of shipping, right? I mean, that's all you need. It's five
have
days.
Have you guys started your Christmas shopping yet?
A little bit, not much.
No, I just started myself.
My kids want money, so I don't have to shop for that, right?
I know, but that's boring. It is boring. You know what I told my kids this year?
I can tell you what's worse.
What?
Is me buying their gifts.
Yeah, that's
right. And it not fitting and looking like me on them. You know?
I asked my kids, I told each one, I said, go on Amazon, find exactly everything you need, send me all the Amazon links, and I don't have to think about it. And so, because, I mean, well, just send me a gift card. I can give you a gift card, but I like the wrap presents. I mean, wrapping a gift card is one thing, but, you know, that's what I told them. And so all of them are sending us. And then they had, like, expensive taste. I mean, like, $200 worth of stuff. You know, just one thing. I was like, who do you think we are?
I figured out we could buy five more gifts if we didn't use paper.
It's true.
To wrap it in that's boxes and bows.
Five more 99 cents, right? Send me your link. We used to have a Christmas list. Now it's just send me the link.
That's it.
That's funny.
That's it.
That's funny.
Build your cart.
That's it. I know. That's it. That's a new app coming out. Build your cart.
So what, Pete? What did you ask for Christmas?
I asked that my wife would be wrapped up. No, I didn't. I mean, I can't get into that, right? I shouldn't be going.
Not on this podcast.
Not on
that's
this podcast.
The other podcast that we have.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, today's a special day. You know, today we have our very first special guest.
Yes.
And it's exciting. It we finally got exciting. To this point. We have a special guest. And so, Barry, would you like to tell us who this special guest is?
Well, there's never, ever going to be a more favorite guest of mine than this one. This is my boy, Joshua Daniel Rice. And I have to tell you at the beginning, before I met him and before I named him, I prayed every day for 7 years for him. And you know what? In his personality, in his character, and maybe not so much in his looks, and that's why we're on radio and podcast, but he is an amazing young man and just graduated from the great Charleston Southern University, was a center there, S-I-N-N-E-R, but also a center on the football team. And he got a biblical studies degree there or something like that. And I haven't actually read the paper or seen the paper, but I heard he got a degree. At least they charged us for it, okay? That's all I know. But anyway, JD is an incredible man of God. He worked very, very hard in football, but he really applied himself in academics and learned a lot about the Lord. He also went to the Air Force Academy for a year and got hurt playing football there. And and God really visited him during that injury, and God really spoke to him and really did some incredible things. But I'm going to tell you, a young man that a father is proud of. I couldn't be more proud of a son than I am of JD. And he's doing life right. He loves God from the bottom of his feet to the top of his head and with everything that's in his heart.
Man.
And
I got a feeling he could talk about JD for all day.
I think so.
I know I could. I know I could. But anyway, I want to introduce you to the one, the only JD Rice.
What's up, JD?
Ladies and gentlemen, I am flattered to be on. Pete, thanks for the opportunity. Bob, how gracious of y'all. Dad, thanks. I get that all the time, that introduction. And
you better
tell you what,
thank your mother.
You know, literally, honestly, that's the true kicker right there. But, I mean, he's right. People have always told me, and I live by it, that, you know, I just have a face for radio. And I tell you what, I've never looked better.
So, JD, tell us a little bit. What's your passions? What's something that you're doing now?
Yeah, my dad touched on it very briefly, but went to Charleston Southern University, Let's go Buccaneers. Played football there for 4 years. Graduated a couple months ago in August and have started my master's degree, Master's of Divinity at the Kanakuk Institute. Dude, just to boil it down, it is a heart for ministry. I am super passionate about fathers, super passionate about sons and young men. Just that specifically it takes a man to teach a young man how to be a man, and I'm all about it. And so, you know, that comes from my dad. Honestly, it's been just the greatest thing, just looking after all that he's taught me, and just by osmosis, him being there. In my youth, I didn't think that was
I like
such
that
a great
word
thing.
Osmosis.
Yeah, so osmosis, literally just my dad, I felt like he had his thumb on me at all times. He was my dad, he was my coach, he was my pastor, all that. And you know, it was a curse to me in my youth, honestly, in my immaturity, but it's been one of the biggest blessings, honestly, in my own walk with Jesus, seeing that just that example of my dad.
So JD, what, you know, maybe for our listeners, this will help them out a little bit, but what's it like being a PK, being a pastor's kid?
Yeah. Well, the sermon you hear always twice, first in, on stage, and then secondly when it comes back home. Your Bible memory is on point, but there's zero application to your heart typically. No. You have all the right answers as a kid, but there's tons of pressure. There is. As a PK, you feel like you fall into two categories. Either you're the nightmare that is the parent's scourge, and they're trying to get rid of your impact that you've had on the family, or you're just a delight of your father, and you're exactly like him. I like to think that I'm the middle of the road there. But it's been a lot of fun. I've had some incredible experiences, like being able to travel up and down the East Coast and going to Myrtle Beach and doing all these different ministry events and whatnot, and you know, speaking to people, dyeing my hair blonde over the summers, which my mom did not agree with. But yeah, it's been fun. It's been a blast. It really has.
Did you enjoy being the stories told on the pulpit, and you know, kind of mistakes you made or things you did that were kind of crazy that were suddenly shared on Sunday mornings? Did that bother you? How did you feel about that?
Bob, would it be too weird to say that I like the attention?
Yeah.
In a sick way? Because that's real. I sought attention, but not in the right way. I would always really get in trouble. And they used to joke with me because they had they literally had to keep a drawer full of spoons that had my name on them, because my mom would break spoons over my rear end in the Food Lion parking lot. I'm dead serious. I'm pretty sure that spoon is still there too.
Well, here's your chance to turn the tables a little bit. You can get an opportunity to maybe tell a story about your dad, kind of make it the other way around.
Well, moving right along, don't we have a program today?
I mean, I'm sure the listeners would like to hear a funny story about Barry today. So if you've got something that's kind of a top of mind that you'd like to share with us, we would love, really love to hear it.
I have something that comes immediately to mind, and I'm sure he will remember this as I begin to talk about it. But this one year we were living in near St. Cloud, and we were on Narcusi Road, and we were hanging out over there, and we were at this neighborhood.
That's in Orlando, Florida.
Yeah, whatever.
Or St. Cloud.
Anyways, thanks, Pete. And so we were over there, and it was around the 4th of July, and I had begged my dad. I was like, come on, we got to get some fireworks. It's the 4th of July. We got to let off some fireworks. And we we go out, we buy these fireworks, and we buy, you know, the sparklers, the typical kiddo fireworks, you know. And I'm like 12 years old. I think I'm hot stuff at this time. And I was like, Dad, we need to buy a mortar, okay? And I was like, we have to buy a mortar. And so he's like, all right, you know, we'll get one mortar. We'll get one. And we're like, okay. So we buy one mortar. But none of us knew how to shoot mortars off. And so we just scrounge around, and we find your typical sewage PVC pipe, all right, that we had laying around the garage, okay? Now, this was like a four-inch diameter pipe, all right? And we're like, this is going to go magnificently. And so we go out to this empty lot in the neighborhood, okay? And, like, it's the 4th of July. Like, people are letting off fireworks. It's no big deal. But we go to this empty lot, right? And we set this mortar down on the ground and put the PVC pipe over top of it. But we don't, create a thing to, like, hold up the PVC pipe. My dad holds onto the PVC pipe, and he's like, I'll hang on to it. You light it and run away.
Oh, my.
And so we devise this plan, right? And he's hanging on to this PVC pipe. He's basically like he's holding on to a rocket launcher.
I need video.
I wish I had. I wish I had it, Bob. Listen, man, I would watch it every single day. Anyways, so I stoop down to light this fuse on this firework. and it like zips to the side of the PVC pipe, and it like goes out. And so I'm like, okay, you know,
it's a dud.
The fuse is a dud. Yeah. It's not going to work. You know, whatever. And that's when like I began to like walk back up to it, and all you hear is, and this thing comes out of the PVC pipe, okay, and comes about a foot out the PVC pipe and begins to spin in the air right next to my dad's head. And he throws the PVC pipe a quarter mile. The thing explodes. My dad hits the ground. He's rolling on the ground. He's covered in dirt. His pants are halfway down from hitting the ground so hard. His shirt's torn apart. Oh. I'm running for my life, and we're just laughing our tails off.
Oh, my.
We looked at each other, and the same words came out of our mouth. Don't tell mom. Literally, mom, I know you don't have a Facebook, but you have an Instagram, so nobody reposts anything like that. But that's just one of the many stories that I have of me and my hilarious dad's shenanigans. Wow.
That's
but.
Hilarious. Have you guys ever had anything like that with fireworks?
No.
Nothing like that? You've never had anything when you done? Or you have, but you just talked about that.
Yeah.
We were told that what was that, three shows back, we talked about elk hunting and shooting something. I think you did that. Tell us a little bit about that yeah. adventure. That's something I've always wanted to do. I've never gone hunting before.
Whoa, yeah. whoa, 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 whoa.
Never.
That sounds like outing we need to do with our podcast listeners.
Dude, we should.
As an elk hunt. Come on.
I'm a Southern California boy, man. I grew up at the beach, and that was me.
Give us a day. We'll teach you to kill anything.
Oh, I would love it. So tell us about that.
Yeah, so I got the opportunity to go out to Montana. And if you guys know anything about Montana, it's typically that people don't know a lot about Montana. And
they have grizzly bears.
Yeah, it's basically just southern Canada. So if you've ever been to Saskatchewan, it's basically like South Saskatchewan. And so you go to Montana, and it's beautiful, beautiful land. It's just open, it's wild, and it's free. And we were in this little place called Belt, Montana. And I mean, literally there's like a 40-minute drive to the nearest town, and that's Great Falls, Montana. And it's like the second biggest city.
So in Great Falls, Montana, there's Great Falls, but in Belt, there's belts everywhere?
There's belts everywhere.
So everywhere you go, there's belts.
Yeah, and I've seen the Great Falls in Montana, and they only call them great probably because it's the only falls there is.
So it's great.
It's great.
The falls in that city is great.
The first thing I said when I saw those falls is...
That's great.
That's great. Anyways, so we were in this little town called Belt, Montana, and we're out in the middle of nowhere. And fortunately enough, my best friend, their family, did have this ranch out there. And so we got to go hunting out here, and there's these wild herds of elk that are out, and it's so different hunting, you know, from like Florida or Missouri where I'm staying at currently, or in Virginia or wherever else, because like you ride along the highways and you scout it out, and so you're glassing the hillsides and whatnot, and when you find an elk, like you want to go hike up this mountain to go stalk it. And so it's like you spot and you scope it, and then once you find a shooter, a bull, you know, if you're shooting a cow, like you go up this mountain to go stalk this thing. And it is so deceiving when you are in the vehicle just driving around thinking that, you know, this is going to be an easy climb. But it's when it's negative 2 degrees and there's 50 mile an hour winds, and you're hunting something size of a horse that has, you know, that has horns that stretches halfway down its back, but it gets behind like a small pine tree, it disappears. It's like you're hunting unicorns or snipes or something like that. It's amazing, but it's also
rainbow unicorns.
Yes, literally, it's rainbow unicorns. Like, think about
LOL.
Yeah, LOL doll,
unicorn,
pixie dust, all of it, all at once. But it's like a man's just dream. But it'll also kick your tail when it comes to conditioning. So. If you guys go do it, like seriously, you need to be in the best shape of your
life. Yeah, minus 2 degree weather doesn't sound fun, but unicorn sounds fun. I mean, that would be fun to see, right?
Yeah, I mean,
anybody?
Hunting unicorn?
Anyone here?
I am not going to join into that conversation.
I mean, I think Pete's also the same guy who still believes in Santa. But...
Hey, I see Santa every year.
I still believe in Santa.
I know that guy!
We watched that movie last week. Never gets old.
Well, I mean, it's great, JD, that you're here. We're just so blessed that, again, that the Lord has just even given us this opportunity to be able to just talk and do this. But it's one thing to, you know, talk about the things that we've done in our life. It's another thing to talk about Jesus. And I know, JD, that's just something that's a passion of yours in the heart. And what call or what do you sense God calling you to do in ministry? And what are your next steps that you see God opening doors for?
Yeah. So working on my master's now in divinity, finishing up a program at the Keokuk Institute, just really deals with biblical knowledge and leadership. And so the goal is to be able to work with fathers and sons in any capacity that I possibly can. I also believe the Lord has gifted me in teaching and preaching. And so I want to be able to couple those skills dynamically together to put them to the best use that I possibly can. I know we talked briefly off mic about just striding out for what the Lord has blessed you with, you know, just doing the best you can with what you have. And the Lord blessing that. So that's my goal. I want to work with kids, I want to work with fathers, and I want to do so for the glory of Christ.
That's exciting. And we're just looking forward to just hearing, just during our discussion time, just hearing your thoughts and just, you know, how God's wisdom that he's given you and just getting to know you personally has just so blessed me. And I'm just so grateful that God has just brought us together and just to see this friendship go. And so with that said, we want to kind of just move topics a little bit to talk about some hot topics that are happening today. And one of those is just the COVID-19 vaccine. Now it's readily available. I guess the day before or 2 days ago or whatever it was made. I guess they gave the first shots in someone in Tampa and someone in New York or something. They showed videos of it. But there's a lot of people that, especially in the Christian community, that are kind of unsure about taking this. I know that there's some that are saying, "Yeah, I'm absolutely going to take it," and then there's others that are saying they're not going to take it. And so we're going to dedicate kind of two shows to this. We're going to dedicate this week's show and then next week's show. We're going to talk about it a little bit. But two of the things that I've heard a lot about, we wanted to really address that is the COVID-19 vaccine first safe? And does it have fetal tissue cells in it? And so we kind of want to talk about that. So what is a fetal tissue cell? And a lot of it has to go back to abortion and that topic. And so we want to kind of address that a little bit. And then the other topic that I've heard a little bit about is the vaccine the mark of the beast? There was an article talking about Bill Gates and him talking about putting a chip in one of the serums and that it would be able to read our vitals and be able to tell, you know, what our blood pressure is or if we're healthy or so forth. And it just kind of blew up. And I have been seeing a lot in the Christian community saying that this is the mark of the beast. So we shouldn't take that. And so those are kind of off topics and are a little bit extreme, but I think it's best that we probably talk about it. And then next week, we'll kind of follow up on that and so forth. But here at Righteous Invasion of Truth, we want to get to the truth of everything. So that's kind of our whole concept, is we want to take a hard subject, something that, you know, it's not being talked about a lot, and is really just dig into it. And so we want to know what is true about the COVID-19 vaccine. And so that's what we're going to attempt to do. So we've heard a lot of stories out there. And so now let's try to kind of uncover that a little bit. So the first question that I would ask is, as I said from the beginning, is the COVID-19 vaccine safe? But before we answer that, let me read to you a statement by Dr. Francis Collins. He's the director of National Institute of Health. He recently spoke with top Southern Baptist leaders, and he challenged them to examine the actual available evidence. He started off his talk by saying, "Brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, and whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." That was my Dr. Collins voice, by the way, so you guys know. That would apply really well here. So whatever is true. So let's go ahead and dive into that. So Dr. Collins said that there is no fetal tissue used in any of the COVID-19 vaccines in production that are approved. However, a cell line derived in 1972 from a pregnancy termination was used in the preparation of the Johnson & Johnson and the AstraZeneca vaccines, but it was not used in the production of the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccines, Collins said. He added that the cell line is sometimes used in lab experiments to assess if something is working as expected. The vaccines were developed on an unprecedented timetable. While they found ways to eliminate dead time in typically long process, they did not cut corners on efficiency, he said, and safety standards. The FDA has included that the Pfizer and the Moderna vaccines are safe and effective. And I would agree with this, he said. I hope that will be more important in people's views that a lot of rumors that have been flying around, that some of which unfortunately have been made worse by political considerations and timetables than were based on elections as opposed to science. We will not let those things get in the way. That it has to be done right. Collins went on to say that there is some risk with all medical treatment. He pointed out that the chemotherapy can make a cancer patient sick, but it also can cure their life-threatening illnesses. For us to insist that a vaccine has to be 100% free of any possible risk wouldn't be responsible. Collins said, so what you try to do is to say, well, what's the evidence about whether the risk seems to be very significant or whether it seems to be very minimal? Right now, it looks like it's very minimal. Vaccines can save lives, he said. So far, the novel coronavirus has killed more than 250,000 Americans and far more worldwide. Collins predicted that relying on the herd immunity alone would possibly kill millions and said that it's too high of a price to pay. So with all of that said, guys, I'd just like to just jump right into the questions. Is how can we as Christians process this information? So Collins is basically saying the vaccines that have been approved by the FDA do not have fetal cells in them. So any thoughts on that or any questions?
Well, I was really glad to hear that when we looked at that article that the scientific environment and people are saying that's not what this is derived from. That's very important because using aborted babies and fetal tissues for experimentation is something that a Christian shouldn't be involved in my opinion. And I'm not going to be involved with that. But there is a little bit difference between using an aborted fetal tissue and using donor tissue. And JD, could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah,
difference?
That's good. That's
yeah,
good.
I was just about to comment on that, Dad. The tissue that you use in this particular operation that was discovered in 1972 is a cell called the HEK-293 cell, and HEK is an acronym that stands for Human Embryonic Kidney 293 cells. Now, what's unique about this is that it is a mRNA cell, okay? And this is not your DNA cell, which is your deoxyribose nucleic acid, but your RNA, which is your ribonucleic acid. And so what it does is this cell is specifically used to synthesize proteins. And the whole point behind this is that you can use any cell of any donor, whether that person is alive or not alive, but I mean, if that person has died due to natural causes or whatever else, regardless of age, if that body is donated to the work of science, scientists use that depending on the characteristics of that person's blood type and also like the certain characteristics of their DNA to redevelop those particular cells. And so we're not like, if you're taking this vaccine, you're not like ingesting someone. You're not defiling the sanctity of the human body, as we all are, you know, as Christians, we believe, you know, heads nodding around the room. We agree with the fact that there is sanctity in the Imago Dei, that we are created in God's image. But this particular strain of proteins is particular in that it helps the body in producing proteins, not that it would be a particular protein of a person, so to say. Anyways.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's from the way that I'm understanding it or seeing it is there's a ethical way of retaining this and there's an unethical way. And in science, from what we're understanding, is there's many people that donate their fetal tissue to science. The baby has died and something's taken place, and so they've donated it where it's not aborted. And I think that from a Christian's perspective, I think there was a lot of news out there stating that because this is aborted, that, you know, the aborted baby's in there, that we should not take this fetal, you know, this vaccine because of that, and that's just supporting that. So I would say that this vaccine, from based off of what we can see, the two that were approved, and I'm not sure the FDA would even approve the two that have that, just because of this whole big thing. I think that they would probably want to stay clear of that community, because there's so many people that are going to say, if it has, you know, aborted baby in there, we're not going to take it ever. So I think that's why they went with these other two vaccines and approved them right away, just because there's less of that. But just understanding how that is, I mean, that does kind of help. Any thoughts?
Yeah, Pete. So if you look on my driver's license, I volunteered to donate my organs. You know, if I was to be killed in an auto crash or something like that, and I had viable organs, it sounds like maybe that's what you're saying, that this tissue is something like that, that it's not coming from abortions. And, you know, obviously that gets people, you know, riled up really quick. It's a really touchy subject. So is that like maybe a good scenario there, or maybe a good that's analogy absolutely. There?
Yeah,
I think you're absolutely right. But I think where the concern comes from is that there is studies out there showing that some of the makeups and some of the anti-aging lotions and medications does come from aborted baby fetal tissues, and I wouldn't use one of those products. And so I agree with people that should be concerned, and we have done our homework for you, and thank God that this vaccine is being said that it's not from fetal tissue of like an aborted baby.
Yeah, and again, Barry, that brings up a really good point. Is as a Christian, I mean, we have our own convictions based off of what the Spirit of God is leading us. And there's certain things that some of us would be absolutely adamant about in certain things, like products and certain things that we would use. And if the Lord has convicted you on that, and the Lord has pressed upon your heart that you don't want to support that, then it's good to do your homework. It's good to listen. It's good to be mindful of those things and then abstain from using those products. But there are, you know, God's grace does extend to those that do not have that same, you know, Romans 14 kind of mindset. They don't have that same conviction. And so we have to be careful, again, from Christians to just start bashing on somebody because they're using a certain product or whatever. We might lovingly encourage them not to. We might lovingly share with them the truth that we know. That's kind of what we're doing with this show. And then talk to them. But ultimately, it's the Holy Spirit's responsibility to convict and to talk with those people. Any other thoughts about this this subject or anything else you want to bring out with COVID-19?
Well, I kind of have a question. Why do you think, and this open to any of you three guys, but why do you think that misinformation like this is even out there? Why are we being bombarded with information about which is honestly it's a lie that, you know, there's no abortion tissue in these vaccines. So why is information like that being fed to the public? And, you know, what do you think is the purpose of that? Is it just a fear tactic? Or, I mean, I kind of have a theory, but I kind of want to hear what you guys thought first.
Yeah, Bob, I would say just as real as we could get, the simple word fetal it's a trigger word, you know, and I'm wary at using that term trigger, because I mean it is just a word that people are sensitive to, especially in the 21st century. We are living in an age where the birth rate of women without husbands, meaning that single mothers, has just eclipsed that of women who are in marriages. So we have more than ever kids being born into homes without fathers. And then on top of that, because of the amount of kids that are being born, we also have a record number of abortions. And it's like this hotbed of debate and dilemma in between the Christian community that is trying to deal with this rampant, horrible, terrible issue of abortion. But also we are not dealing with the significant issue of fathers just punting on their responsibility. And so we have this dichotomy of women who are trying to do the best that they can as single mothers. And then we have the Christian community who's trying to right the wrong, but, you know, they're attacking the symptoms, maybe not the root of it. And so we have this hotbed of this word for fetal, right? And it becomes this thing of let's debate semantics rather than really get at the issue of whether or not this is ethical, immoral, you know, whatever you want to call it, because, you know, the fact is that there is a virus and, you know, people are getting sick, you know, whether
absolutely.
Or not, you know, whether or not there's a rate that is viable or not. But, you know, we want to create solutions, not more problems for people. And I think that's the biggest thing about it.
Yeah, just trying to stay away from the conspiracy theory. I mean, it's really like in today's environment. I mean, we've talked about absolute truth in previous podcasts, and it's just really just stay into what is true, what is fact, and then not getting caught up into the conspiracy theories and not getting caught up into, you know, political ways of looking or viewing at everything, and just really getting to our knees and seeking the Lord and really seeing it from His perspective and having a discerning spirit. That's true. And really just evaluating what God is actually saying and in viewing things from the lenses of what Christ is saying. Any thoughts? Bob, what about your thoughts on this?
The Pew report, I thought this was interesting. It kind of just measures people's feelings about the vaccine over time. And they've run this report three times this year. They ran it in May. And they basically just asked Americans what percentage of you, or, you know, would you get the vaccine or not get the vaccine? And when asked in May, Americans said 72% of the time that they would take the vaccine. They asked the same question again in September, and it dropped all the way down to 51%, which to me is astounding. That's a huge move in 3 months. And I'm just curious about why you think that might be. And then let me throw in one more stat. They asked the same question again in November, and then the numbers jumped back up to about 60%. So that's where we sit today. We sit at about 60% of Americans say that they will take a vaccine if it's available. And you know, I've heard from numerous sources and read things on the CDC that to say we need to get to about 80-85% of people to get to kind of get this thing under control. So what's it going to take to get there? And why do you think the numbers have changed so drastically over the last few months?
Yeah, next week we're going to talk about because there's a movement going to make people take this vaccine. And, you know, in order to get to those numbers, 85%, they're going to have to enforce this and make this mandatory. And there's a movement happening, which it's gotten some people concerned. And so we're going to kind of talk about that next week, that can the government actually force us to take that? What if our office or our jobs said that, hey, in order to work here, you have to take the vaccine? I've heard stories that Qantas Airlines is saying you can't even fly if you didn't have the vaccine, or Australia saying you can't even come into our country unless you have the vaccine. And so these are moral issues that we want to kind of talk about. We'll talk about that next week. But as far as the reason why the numbers kind of went down and so forth, I really believe it just depends on what news you're watching. I mean, I don't know. I mean, because it's like people are just being, and they're just like, there's a fear factor going on. There's things that are going out. There's misinformation. There's things that are happening that people are, they're trying to make this like, I mean, what is this? What is the recovery rate? 99.5% or something of the people recovering. But they're making it like the recovery rate is only like 56%. Yeah. And so, I mean, I think there's just, and then so people are just all over the place. I think there's just anxiety. They're just trying to really like, what is going on?
So, well, I think we're being bombarded with numbers and scare tactics, and you hear about the number of deaths in America. And let's be real. I mean, this came, I mean, you know, Pete and I have a really good friend that died 2 days ago from COVID. You know, it just, we know it's real,
yes,
but it seems like the fear is just being blown out of proportion. I mean, you hear a number of deaths on the news, and they just throw out numbers. And I was looking at the CDC numbers for total deaths in 2018 and 2019. Both years, it was right about 2.85 million people. And they're projecting, well, before I even tell you the number, I asked somebody the other day I was having lunch with, and this discussion came up, and I asked her, I said, you know, how many people do you think are going to die? You know, I gave her the numbers of 2018, 2019, and said, how many people do you think are going to die in America in 2020? And before I tell you the answer, think about that for yourself for a second. What number pops into your head? And so the number she gave was 5 million. And, you know, that kind of makes sense. But the facts are it's going to be closer to 2.6, 2.7 million, actually less than the number of people that died last year. So, but we're just hearing, we're being just bombarded with negative all the time. And I think that fear kind of plays into even the decision to take the vaccine. And I know we're going to talk about this next week, but I think that kind of plays into part of the fear factor, right? People don't know what to believe anymore. Everything, there seems like you can't believe anything you see on the news or anything you read. Everything seems to be skewed politically. So it just makes, I think it's just a challenge. And I think that's now playing into this vaccine, which you could argue is a miracle. You know, we talked about this morning in our show prep that, you know, the average time for a vaccine to come to market over the, you know, the last 100 years is about 10 years. It usually takes 8 to 10 years to get it to market. In fact, the record was 4 years. And, you know, we first heard about, or I don't know about you guys, but I first heard about COVID about 9 months ago, 10 months ago, right? Kind of the end of February.
Yeah.
And we started kind of, this thing started kind of coming out a little bit, and then the whole world shut down in March. But I mean, it's been 9 months. And
we have a vaccine.
We have a vaccine.
Yeah,
and multiple vaccines, not just one vaccine. So this is either, you know, it's a miracle or it's something else. So,
or they've been working on it for a while.
Or they've been working on it for a while. So maybe that's something we could talk about a little bit next week as well. So
what I'm seeing from my people, guys, is that there is so much confusion from what they're getting from just normal media. And it's so skewed and it's so warped that the people that they're going to check out their story with are taking the rebuttals to such an extreme level that there is just nothing but confusion on it. And that's kind of what got us going with this podcast. It definitely motivated us to talk about some of these issues. And where do we start when we go to seek truth? I think that's an incredible story.
Yeah.
And an incredible question. Where do we go when we want to know the truth? And number one, we go to the Word of God. We go to the Word of God to find truth, because the truth is the Word of God and every word that's come out of God's mouth. But can I say this to you guys? You have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you if you are a believer. And in Jeremiah 33:3, he says, "Seek me, ask me, and I will show you things which you do not know." You know, God tells us to cry out to him and tells us to clarify things, tell us to show what I am to do. And that is just so important to do, because I believe with all my heart, God will reveal to you what you are to believe and what is true. God does not want us walking in fear, and he does not want us walking in darkness.
Absolutely. And so I think that if you were using the fetal cell tissue as a reason why not to take the vaccine, I would not use that as an excuse. I would then surrender that to the Lord. And then just as Pastor Barry was saying,
how about
just
the sign of the beast? Would you use
just
that?
Just releasing that. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's kind of the next thing.
Great transition, Bob.
Yeah. I think that's kind of the next thing that was talking about. Kanye West came out and he said that he thinks the coronavirus vaccine will be the mark of the beast, as he accused those developing a cure of preventing people from crossing the gates of heaven. So, I mean, I thought this was funny, but the truth be told, there are a lot of people out there who believe this. Could there be a computer chip in the vaccine? Could this actually be something that's viable? So I don't know. With that said, what's your guys' thoughts on that? I mean, maybe let's read what is the mark of the beast? Revelations 14:9-10. Anybody want to read that?
Yeah, stall for a second, then I'll read it.
No, I'll go ahead and read it. Revelation 14:9-10. It's in our notes. Then another angel, a third one, followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worships the beast in his image and receives a mark on his forehead or on his head, he also will drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger. And he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb." So with that, I mean, that's kind of the gist of, or the you know, the big picture of what the mark of the beast is. Any thoughts on what it is? You want to go ahead and explain, JD? Go for it.
Sure. Yeah. So we just kind of went through a book study of Daniel, and so we have this Old Testament prophet who really comes about in the exilic period of the Jews. Now, all these fancy words are basically just to say that the Jews, they just defied the law and the word of the Lord. And so because of the Lord disciplined them and allowed for countries to be raised up and take them over. And this particular time that they were underneath the rule of the Babylonians, and they were living underneath the rule of King Nebuchadnezzar. And you have, you know, these guys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. And so these guys are currently in the king's temple, right? And so they're telling the King Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel is specifically, about these dreams that he's having. He's having these dreams about the end time. So it is, Daniel is a commentary, so to say, on what John writes in Revelation. Incredible. If you ever thought that the Old Testament is divorced from the New Testament, stop that, okay? Yeah. And read Isaiah.
Absolutely.
Isaiah 52:13 through Isaiah 53:12 specifically. It's the Old Testament gospel. But besides that, realize that the God of the Old Testament is also the God of the New Testament. And beyond that, the God of the Old Testament and the God of the New Testament is also the God of now. You know, he says to Moses, I am, because he is, and he will be forevermore.
Come on, son.
With that, though, the mark of the beast simply is this mark of this man. He is a man who is going to come, and there's going to be a mark that identifies all those who worship him instead of the one true God. And this is going to be obviously a major, major conflict because as we believe and we have read in specifically, I mean, Philippians chapter 2, come on, we have Jesus Christ, who at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father who is in heaven. And so like that, so people get super worked up about the number of the beast or the mark of the beast or whatever else. It's the number 666. It is just an identifying thing with a man who is to come, who will be the Antichrist, but he will cause people to worship him instead of worshiping God. He's going to reject religion. Yeah, there's going to be this new idea of there's going to be a system of buying and selling that if you're not marked, you can't, you know, purchase or whatever else. And so there's going to be suffering at that particular time with the Christians. And that gets in millennialism, amillennialism, you know, that sort of thing. But we're not going to get into that today.
Pre-trib.
Yeah, all that. Yeah, tribulation, whatnot. You guys ever read Left Behind series? Bob's smiling over there. He's a geek about it. I already know.
I saw the movies in the 80s.
Yeah. Bob was in the movie. Did you guys know that?
that's right. So basically, the mark of the beast, I guess the question that people are asking is there an actual chip in this vaccine that is going to track our blood and going to tell that? So from the best that we can know, and from what our research has shown, that is no. And the reason why it could not be the mark of the beast is because it would require us at the same time to forsake our faith in Jesus and to worship, another being or something that's there. And
that's
that
right.
is not taking place with that. So I could put our fears together
with
that.
And with that, Pete, I would say, too, if you continue on reading in Daniel, there's a prophecy that comes about. And I think we might have talked about this earlier, but there's like 333 different prophecies in the Bible. It's like 220 of which have already come true, which is like if you even get into like the scholarly, like the predictions of like the factors of, you know, the percentages of what that would be to even one to come true is like phenomenal. So you'll have to look more into that if you're listening. But anyways, going back to the story is that Daniel was prophesying about what is to happen. And there's a type of Antichrist that already came. There's a guy named Antiochus Epiphanes, and he is a type of Antichrist. And it shows us a representation of what it's going to be like. But what the main point is that there's going to be 10 kingdoms that arise in the end of the days. And there's going to be another kingdom that arises and takes out three. So there's going to be 8 total, and the kingdom that arises and takes out the other three is going to be the kingdom of the Antichrist. And so we know that, you know, there's no, this is not meant to instill fear, but there's no ruling kingdoms over the world that we know it to be. And so we understand to believe that we are living in the end of the days, and we've started the end of the days ever since Christ ascended, but we are not living in the time of the 10 kingdoms and thus the time of the Antichrist as well. But I think what's important here is that it shows us that there is ever more an urgency for the word of the gospel. And I think that's always been something that's been on my dad's heart, is just the urgency of the gospel, that despite the situation, despite whether or not we take a vaccine, despite whether or not we are in a situation where we talk about the mark of a beast or not being marked of the beast, of whichever policy we're living under or political leader or, kingdom that we're currently in is the ever true part and portion of the urgency of the gospel, isn't that right?
Absolutely. And if I'm worried about whether or not I'm going to have the mark of the beast, I'm going to tell you right now that if you have received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and no mark of the beast or no nothing can erase it out of that book. That the blood of Jesus seals you and completes you, and you have nothing to worry about. So I don't worry about the mark of the beast ever, because I am sealed with the blood of Jesus Christ, and I have put my trust in Him. He says in John 14:6 that there is one way, one truth, one life, and one way to the Father, and that's through me, Jesus says.
I think we're gonna have to have you come back, JD, and just have a show just on prophecy and different things. I think that would be a really good show. I think a lot of people would like that.
I would prophesy that I would do that.
Yeah, that's good. I think it's safe to say, though, from if you're going to make that as an excuse not to take the vaccine, I would feel safe to say that it's not a part of the mark of the beast. Again, we have to be mindful, and again, we'll talk about this, but the Antichrist is going to come. I'm not saying that Donald Trump is that, but he's going to create a movement in such a way that people are going to think he's going to save everything. And everything that he says is going to be done in such a way that, you know, almost people are going to worship him. They're going, oh my gosh, he has all the right answers, and everything comes together. And Christians and non-Christians alike will fall for this man. And so that's why in the Bible it talks about that in the church, that you know, half are going to be left behind. There's going to be a lot left behind. They're going to get caught up into this. And I think what we want to do is just really bring to light what is the actual Antichrist, what is the mark of the beast, and just really speak truth here so that people can fully understand that. And so that's not taking place with this vaccine. That's not happening. We would be mindful if we did find out that there was an actual chip or something inside a vaccine. We would absolutely say, hey, that might be caution. I'm not sure we want to take that. You know, we want to investigate that more. And so if that was taking place in this, we will definitely bring that to light.
They don't need a tracking device, do they, Pete? Because they already have it with our phones.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everybody has a tracking device in their hand.
That's a hot take.
Yeah, we'll get in. Hey, but I mean, seriously, that could be even another hot topic, because they're probably listening to us right now, right? Yeah. And so just getting into that. Well, let's move on. I mean, this has been good. Again, the bottom line, Barry, you said it, is do not let fear be the reason why you're not taking this vaccine. Do not let, you know, what's the conspiracy theories that are out there be the reason why you're not taking this vaccine. Do not let, all of this, I mean, it's just fear mongering and all these things. Do not let that be the reason why you don't. The reason why you don't is because you really surrendered it to the Lord, and that you really sought the Lord in this and what God is telling you. And when you have peace there, then be obedient in that, because there are people, again, like we said, this is real. COVID-19 is real. We have friends that have died from this. And so we're not taking this lightly at all. And there's older people that are adamant saying, I'm going to take that vaccine. And there's some that are just saying no. And I really like to hear reason why they don't. And next week we'll talk about that a little bit, and why they don't want to take it. But don't let fear be the reason. And also be, you know, do your research and prepare yourself and look. And we would love, if there's something else, a question that you have or something you can't find, email us and let us know at info@riotpodcast.co. We would love to hear your questions, or even give us some insight on this show. Tell us how JD did, and we're just so blessed by him, and so on. But with that said, let's just go ahead and just turn our hearts towards the purpose of this show is turn our hearts towards Jesus. I mean, He is the everything. He is the reason for this season. He is our everything, and He's the one that sets us free. Barry?
Yeah, guys, can I remind us today that there is a sickness that's worse than COVID-19 that kills everybody? That's right. For sure, for certain, 100%, it never fails, and it's called sin. Sin is rampant, it is contagious, and it's throughout this whole world, and there's only one vaccine that works, and that is what Jesus did on the cross for you and I. When He bled and died and He took those nails in His hands, He took that beating upon His back, and He put those crown of thorns on His head, and He carried that cross down the Via Dolorosa. It is by what Isaiah 53 says, by His stripes we are healed. And I really meant it. When I said John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to me. You can't get to heaven, nor forgiveness of sin, nor to be made righteous before a holy God by going to church, by being a good person, by being born in America or to the right family or to the right economic area. The only way you will be granted access into God's heaven and his family is through the blood of Jesus. So what must I do? Number one, I need to admit that I'm a sinner. Number two, I need to believe in Jesus, that he was the Son of God, that he died for me, he was buried, and he rose again the third day, and that he is the only way, and that I cannot make it on my own. And so I put my trust in him, and in putting my trust in him, I repent, and I turn to God, and I ask Jesus to become the authority in my life, my master, my Lord, my Savior, and I confess him as my Lord. And I receive him into my life through that confession and commitment that I make, and I do that through prayer. Romans 10:13 says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, brothers and sisters, friends that are listening to this, wherever you are in Belgium, Europe, Africa, every continent is listening to this, I ask you to make sure you're ready to meet Jesus, that you're ready to be a part of the family of God, that you're ready to go to heaven. And the only way to be ready and to be healed of the sickness of sin is to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Would you pray this type of prayer from your heart to God's heart of surrender? Would you just simply say, dear God, I know that you created me. I know that you love me, and I know that you want a relationship with me, but the letter in the middle of sin, I stand in the way and I don't measure up. I don't meet the standard, and I have fallen and I have offended you. Please forgive me. And God, I ask, because I believe that Jesus is your son. I believe that he came and died and was buried and he rose again, and that he is the only way. He's the only path. He's the only bridge that I can get to you. And I know that I was created for that relationship with you. So Jesus, because I believe you're alive, I invite you into my life. And by doing it, I turn away from my sin and I turn to you, and I realize I got to live differently. And instead of trusting myself, I put my trust in you and what you accomplished on the cross. And I ask that you would come and be my master, my boss, my Savior, and my Lord. I am making a commitment to live for you right now. Come into my life and save me. And help me to win others to you. Help me to tell my family. And help me to serve you for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you pray that prayer, I want to congratulate you. It's the greatest thing that could ever happen. Let us know, because you don't hear this in this room on this podcast, but we shout for joy, just like the angels in heaven. Let somebody know, your pastor, Christian friends in your life, email us, let us know.
Yeah, I mean, you can log on to riotpodcast.co. And on there, if you have more questions or common questions about your faith, why you believe, or, you know, more about God, we have that on our podcast. If you also have given your life to the Lord, there's an opportunity for you to know God more, but actually give your life, and we would love to hear about it. We would love to send a Bible to you and some other resources that can help you on your journey, and then also connect you with the church. Or if you're out there and you're looking for a new church, we have in our resource page a link that will help you find a local church that's there for you. But I just want to just recap again. I mean, if you know, read your word. JD talked about Daniel 2 tonight, and we talked about Revelations 14 and the Mark of the Beast. You want to know more, go in and start studying that and research that. If you have questions or things that you haven't found or something, we would love to hear about those questions. You can email us again at info@riotpodcast.co. But JD, we are so thankful that you were here. I mean, it's we're kind of blown away. God has blessed you with like a super brain, and we're just so blessed by you. Thank you so much.
Pete, man, you are you're extremely complimentary, bro. I don't have a super brain. I just have a big skull. And it just makes everything super compact and tight and everything in there. So the little things I do learn, I know I'm pretty good. And that's it. And I'll have to tell you, the amount of hours that I put into just a couple of sentences that I said onto here is phenomenal. But it is ultimately a testament to not only Christ in my life. I mean, come on, we got to give it up for him. But yeah, also man. To this big oaf that's sitting to my right here.
Barry.
Yeah, Barry, Barrendale. But there's a, if you guys have ever watched Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, I feel like it's Sean Connery, talking to his son in the final scene. Instead of, calling him Junior, he calls him Indiana. 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 Anyways, it's just fun being with these guys. These guys are goofballs, and it brings out the best in everybody. But Pete, once again, bro, just thank you for this opportunity. God is so good, and I tell you what, we talked about the different passages in Daniel, Daniel 7. If you guys want to research that, it's the vision that Nebuchadnezzar has and the interpretations. Then Daniel 2 is this incredible passage about Daniel praising the Lord for the interpretation that he gives him, also like talking about how God lifts up kings and tears them down.
Yeah.
Isn't that a word for today? Yeah. You guys can use that for any other podcast you want. Anyways, but besides that, I'll tell you, the Lord is still sovereign, and I just want to say thank you for the time that you've given me, Pete, and for Butterball Bob over there, and for my dad, of course. So, yeah, I watched the other podcast, Bob. I did. I listened to them.
So, JD, how could people follow you?
I don't have Instagram. I don't have a Twitter. I just have a Facebook, and
just give out your cell phone. That'd be good.
I can't do that. If you guys want, you can hit my email up. I would love to hear any and all feedback. Would love to talk to you more about the Book of Daniel, and that is 66ricejd @gmail.com. Would love for you guys to reach out to me just to have a conversation. Always would love, enjoy encouraging in any and all circumstance. And if you guys just have a prayer request, I would so sincerely appreciate you sending that to me as well. I'd love to pray for you guys. Anyways, once again, thanks for your time today.
All right, Bob.
Man, what a great episode, JD. Just what an honor it is to just be able to just hang out with you for a little bit and hear your insight. Man, just blessed by you. As always, Barry and Pete, blessed by you guys. We talked a little bit about fear and not letting that control our decisions. This verse in Proverbs just popped out. I'll share it with you real quick and then I'll wrap. But Proverbs 12:15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice." Mm. So it's just, seek out the truth. Don't just automatically believe everything you hear.
Yeah.
So, man, make sure you listen next week when we wrap up the part two of the vaccine, and it'll be on Christmas Eve. So what a special treat.
Yeah.
Gather your family around the Christmas tree and the average to the age, vaccine podcast.
The average age will be back up to, the mid-60s or something like that.
We're going to have a special guest on that show, right?
We are, yeah. So yeah, tune in. We will have Professor Mark.
The coach.
Taunton from Lake Nona High School right here in beautiful Orlando, Florida. Well, guys, remember, check out our Facebook page. It's Facebook.com/TheRiotPodcast. You can find pictures there. Great place to communicate with us. Reach out to us and get the newest episodes. Of course, you can always go to the website, go to YouTube. Make sure you click like and share. You guys know the routine. I shouldn't have to go over this every week. But, we appreciate you so much. We are so thankful that you take your time to listen to us. And we just pray that something we said today just sticks with you and points you a little bit closer to God. I just wanted to leave you with one last thing. I mentioned earlier that a friend of ours passed away a couple days ago from COVID, and Dr. Rod Masteller, he was just an amazing man of God who pointed, I can't even imagine how many people to the throne of Christ. And
thousands.
Thousands and thousands. Yeah. Just an amazing man, an amazing example. The few times I got to hear him speak and spend time with him, just an amazing influence and role model. And Dr. Ride, you will be greatly, greatly missed.
Yeah. Till next week. We'll talk to you guys later. Love you. Bye.
This has been the Riot Podcast. If you liked what you heard today, please feel free to leave a comment and share it with your friends. See you back here next week for another episode of the Riot Podcast.